welcome back to round 14. Tony, how are you, my friend?
Howdy, howdy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. You know what? If you notice my hat, I'm doing very good. Great weekend of football. The New York Giants. And Tony, you're a New York Giants fan as well.
That I am. That I am since 1976.
First time in 6 years, not only did they win their opening game, but the Giants are 2-0, my friend.
2-0. I'm surprised you're a Giants fan. I'm surprised you're not a Buffalo fan. They're closer.
You know what? When I was younger, we used to get the Giants games on the TV on the Watertown station. And Pepper Johnson, Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
No, come on. Who's like LT, right? Phil Sims. Okay. Joe Morris. So,
nice.
I grew up a Giants fan and, always has been, always will be. So
awesome. Good stuff. But yeah, 2-0. And now, coming up, the football season's kicked off as Tim just said, and Giants have the Cowboys coming Monday night. That'll be a real test to see. That'll be nice if they beat them. And, a lot of other stuff going on. I have a buddy of mine, speaking of Buffalo, I got a buddy of mine who's in Buffalo as we speak, going to the game tonight. And, my other buddies, Dolphins, are 2-0.
Yep.
So it's good. It's good. Football's back. Good time of year too. I'm a Mets fan, so I get to watch the Mets and the Giants, and it's fun. Fun times.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
No, that's great. And, you mentioned the Cowboys, big rivalry game next Monday night. Brian, our friend and Big D. So he's, down there working with the Cowboys. So maybe he can do something to, tie up the shoelaces wrong or pack the equipment wrong. See what he can do for us, Brian.
Help us out a little bit. Nah, that's okay. Actually, I want to beat him straight up. So that's fine.
Yeah. No, that's good. I was having fun with, popping around Instagram the other day and seeing somebody's watching Rocky. Somebody's watching Rocky III. Somebody's watching Balboa. Always a little bit different takes on what they're watching and why they're watching that movie. And through the years, I mean, Rocky's looked different, right?
Yeah, he has. I mean, it's obviously from the beginning, from the original to Balboa, there's been a physical difference in looks. Mm-hmm. But also, too, the way he was dressed for each of his fights, there was difference, which I was kind of – I wish there was a consistency almost. I mean, there kind of was for 2 and 3 a little bit. Well, I mean, I guess we should start at the beginning. So we'll start with his original shorts.
Yeah.
The white trunks with the red stripe, which we all know the story of why they're the white and the red ones. The red, and they were supposed to be red with white stripes. And then, of course, the robe made no sense. It was red with yellow. It's just a mishmash. It was size quadruple XL.
Yeah. Remember Paulie stopping him on the way to the ring, eh? How's the robe? Eh?
A little baggy.
So,
so that, that was the original. But then the second one, he wore his colors from the high school that he never graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made sense. He had some form of colors and he had the Italian stallion robe, nice robe.
Yeah.
Which carried into 3 in that whole montage in the beginning. You see him wearing either yellow with the black stripes or black with the yellow stripes and the Italian stallion robe. But then, of course, we know Apollo asked him to wear his colors and he wore that to beat Mr. T, Clubber Lang. goes hand in hand, I guess, right?
Sure.
And then again, it makes sense in 4 for him not to wear the black and yellow anymore, to wear their stars and stripes, obviously was a huge make sense in that film. I think if you ask the general fan, not the diehards, I think if you ask the general fan about Rocky, I think that the stars and stripes shorts are what they refer him to with.
Oh yeah, I think so too, right? Rocky, America, people that, like I said, I know somebody that has never seen Rocky movies. I know, right? Why am I still talking to them? No, but never seen a Rocky movie. And I said, you know who Rocky Balboa is, right? She said, yeah, he's iconic. I said, oh, he's iconic and you've never seen a movie. But she said, wears the red, white, and blue, yeah. and, you know, fights for America. And I'm like,
yeah, I think well, that's what it, they really think of more so. Obviously, in 5, he didn't wear any shorts. The street fight. And then, of course, in Balboa, he does kind of go back to his roots of the black and the yellow again with the black shorts that he had on. The robe is a little different, black and yellow, no Italian stallion on the back. Which I was kind of a little bummed out about. I was kind of hoping that they would have the Italian stallion on the back of the robe. But at least it had the yellow, the colors. I mean, to be honest with you, that's my favorite of shorts. I like the black with the yellow stripes.
Okay. Okay. It's Rocky too.
Where he won the title. I like the look of it. I like black. It's kind of like my favorite color. You know, not to quote him or anything, but it's true. But I do like the Stars and Stripes one, but it's hard because you also think of Apollo when you see the Stars and Stripes. Mm-hmm. So it's a little difficult to really pin it on Rocky. But I get it. At least they all have a reason. They have a history behind them or a story behind them. Mm-hmm. Like when the announcer said he's wearing the colors from the high school he never graduated from.
Yeah.
Great plug, huh?
No. Not only that, I mean, the big meatpacking plant logo on the back of the of the logo, and people were just like, What the hell is this? Like, you know, he comes out with a, and then Mickey, I trained you to be a fighter, not a billboard, right? So,
that's fine. But that robe, the red and yellow robe was hideous. I mean, it was just, it was so bad. But, you know, the shorts, white shorts, it showed off the blood, showed off the battle, you know, how, what he really went through. Mm-hmm. I guess the red really wouldn't have shown that as much.
No,
they left the red with the white stripes. We've all seen the pictures of the behind the scenes shot of him with the red shorts and the white stripe. It's weird seeing it now because you're so used to seeing what he really wore.
Yeah.
So it's very different, but I'm sure everybody has their favorite. If you guys want to put down in the comments what your favorite was or what you think of Rocky. If you think of Rocky first, like what do you think of his shorts? What do you think of him in? Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a lot of people think of the original or think of the Stars and Stripes. I mean, I wouldn't say there's more Rocky IV fans than any of them, but I think that would be a pretty accurate statement.
Yeah.
General public. I'm not talking about the diehards.
Nope.
General public, I think more people liked or followed or know of Rocky IV over the rest of them. It was one of the most successful ones, and everybody knows Drago, and it's like Clubber kind of gets a backseat to the villain part, and he was the biggest villain of all, really, to be honest with you. I think, anyway.
Right.
He was more of a villain than Drago was.
Well, I'll tell you what, and this is kind of a funny thing. We were talking about Rocky movies the other day. I was talking with a friend of mine, and we're FaceTiming, and my wife and I were sitting there FaceTiming our friend, and my wife said, yeah, I like the Rocky movies, not as much as this coconut over here, but, you know, she said, Rocky IV, I think I've seen that with the blonde guy. The blonde guy. Are you kidding me?
Wow. You know his name. Even if you don't know the real name, you know his name.
She did know that he went and fought the Russian, but it was the blonde guy. So, like you said, Rocky IV.
Well, you know, the older we get, the older we get, the more that there's a younger generation that is just being introduced to these films.
Yeah.
You know, and we've had them in our lives for 30, 40 years, whatever it is, you know, however old you are. So it's hard for us to imagine, like, somebody not knowing he wore Stars and Stripes, you know, or something along those lines. It's just, like, you think about it and go, really? How do you not know that? But, you know, when you have it in your life the whole time, it's very different.
Yeah.
And that's just like the Rambo stuff. Rambo, some people know of Rambo and saw the Last Blood Rambo. Like my daughters, that was the first Rambo they saw.
Okay.
Was Last Blood. They never saw any of the other ones previous. Mm-hmm. And they didn't want to. They didn't care about it. They didn't ask to watch it. After they saw Last Blood, they did want to see First Blood.
Sure.
Then one of them watched the others.
Yeah.
But again, they might think of him as an older guy, not as their young, ripped up Rambo, long hair. They just see him as the older guy Rambo. So that's all they know. We see him as, you know, when I think of Rambo, I either think of the knife or the bow and arrow.
Sure.
Usually the knife, though. That's the first. Yeah. Like, if I had a picture Rambo, I know you're a bigger Rambo fan than I am. But.
Well, and the other thing that I'm talking everybody, including everybody, what I get in people that aren't crazy about Rambo is the headband. They'll put the headband on. I'm going to go all Rambo here, and they'll put a headband on. And we actually had them at our work. They gave us these cooling headbands.
Oh, really?
And you're supposed to put them in water and then put them on your forehead. And right. Everybody was like, what the fuck is this? Wait, we Rambo? So anyways, that was the first thing that came to mind. But you're right, the knife, the bow and arrow, right?
That's what I think of first is the knife, because the knife was represented in every movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was always there. Yeah. The bow and arrow, I think, was in – did he use the bow and arrow in First Blood?
No.
No, right? No. Yeah, I didn't think so either.
He used an awful big machine gun, though.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, the different guns, yeah. But he used the bow and arrow in two.
First Blood Part Two and three. In Rambo 3.
And then
and in Rambo.
Mm-hmm. And then he did in Last Blood also.
Yep.
But yeah, I think of the knife first. I mean, that knife is.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Did you ever have a replica Rambo knife?
You know, I did. It was not a sanctioned one. It wasn't, like they have now where you can buy the replica of the movie, whichever movie you choose.
Yeah.
But it was the style of knife where the handle opened up and the compass was in there and the matches and whatnot and the serrated edges and stuff.
Yeah. I had one when I was, I think I was 11 years old. Can you imagine selling that to an 11-year-old?
Like walking into probably half the size of you.
Walked into Canadian Tire, no problem. Opened the door myself. Nothing was locked up back in the 80s, right?
Right.
Want to buy that knife? Go out in the woods and 11 years old. Come on, giving you knives, hysterical.
And they let you buy it.
Oh, great! Yeah, they said, "What else do you want? Gunpowder?" I said, "No, just a knife." I said, "Okay, have a good day."
First Blood came out. I bought it after First Blood, and I don't think First Blood Rambo 2 was out yet when I bought it. It might have been. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know I was in my later teens. It was probably I was 16 when First Blood came out. So it might have been when 2 came out, and I went and bought it. But yeah, it had, you know, a sheath too and everything. I mean, it was a good size. It was, again, not the exact replicas like you can buy now.
No, that's right. It was
beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you want to go out, run around playing Rambo with those after buying one of those online, right? The new ones.
Oh, I mean, them now. Yeah. Oh, and they're pricey and they're exact replicas. They made the same kind. They made the same weight. I mean, they're a legitimate knife. They're not just a make believe knife that you hang up for display. So I get that part. You know, like, speaking of quotes last week, you know, that he had a knife. That's a knife.
Yeah.
We all know that movie that came from.
That may come up later too in our show, so you never know.
Nice. Yeah, we might have to talk about some of those.
But little goofy movies. No, that's great. And before we get into our other topic tonight, we have a friend that's not feeling very well. I want to give her a shout out. Our friend Jess is quite sick, and she's not feeling well. Tony, she's a big fan of our show. She's watching tonight, so I just want to say, Jess, we hope you're feeling better. Our thoughts are with you.
Yeah. Hope you feel well. Go kick it its butt and move forward and get out there. Get running.
Yeah. Get running again. And, when you're not feeling well, it's good to sit on the couch and put some movies on. Yeah. Maybe have a laugh. So that'll take us right into our segment tonight.
Today we're talking about, all those 80 goofball comedies.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of them. It was very hard making this list.
You know what? It was because
you always felt like you were leaving something out.
Usually we do 9-10 movies. We've got 20 this time and we still left a lot out. But we get back and forth. Tony and I get going back and forth and get laughing, and then this is the direct result of the goofiness. Right. So
it is. It's the more I thought about them, the bigger the list kept getting. And, this is a complete, strictly opinionated list.
Yeah. And remember, these are movies from the '80s. We had a couple movies on here that creeped into the '90s and we changed it. Just because if we started doing the '90s, we'd be here all night. Later down the road, we'll do another one, right?
Good films and good comedies. Mm-hmm. We'll address that decade coming up soon.
Yeah.
And then of course we'll creep into the 2000s.
And there's, you know what? They're still making some good comedies. And when I think of, in the new in the 2000s and stuff, and they get into the Hangovers and Step Brothers and stuff like that, and
right.
Bridesmaids, and we'll get into those later. But like I said, if we had added everything, Christ, we'd be here for hours. So
yeah. So we just added, you know, we Tim chose 10, I chose 10, and
yeah,
I'm gonna run with it. We'll start off with and you know, the years on them. So Weird Science, they're all between the 80s, 80 yeah. to 89, just like the other ones. And this one here.
It's unbelievable.
You know what's so funny about this movie is, like, there was other films
yep.
that I saw again later when mm-hmm. I got older that I was like, really? I thought that was funny. Like, that kind of sucked. It wasn't mm-hmm. as funny as I remember yeah. it. But that one I just recently saw, and it still made me laugh.
It was well, that's so it. And I think it's funny that some of the younger generations that haven't seen it, they could watch this, and I think it'll hold up, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it's going to be a little different with the desktop sure. computer, and you know, some of the, of course, the clothing that they wear is very different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, they'll recognize Robert Downey Jr. and Anthony Michael yeah. Hall, and you know, yep. a couple of the other people on there. It's still funny. It's goofy. It's, you know, it's just a fun movie.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Next movie was a little more iconic to the 80s, and this one here is 16 Candles.
Yeah.
This one here, I think when you mention 80s movies in general, this is definitely one of the movies that is always on mm-hmm. the list. John Hughes, of course, had the Brat Pack mm-hmm. created back then. Molly Ringwald and, you know, Rob Lowe and those guys. So mm-hmm. they made a fortune over those kind of movies. That movie, again, we just watched that. We watched that fairly recently. We were flicking mm-hmm. by. We left it on. My older daughter thought it was really funny. She never saw mm-hmm. it before. And, yeah, it's a fun, I mean, think of the premise though, too. Like, your parents forget your birthday.
Oh my goodness. You know what?
And at 16, no less. That's,
yeah. You know, devastating. And I don't want to say that it's bigger for a 16 year old girl, but you have 2 daughters. I have a daughter. 16 is a pretty big birthday for a young lady.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. My younger one's 16th is coming up the end of October.
Don't forget it, Tony.
I'll forget it.
Rake you over the coals, she will.
No, it'll be good. But that, yeah, you gotta check that out. It has everything you want. It has the goofball kid, the dorky kid. You know, it has the good looking guy that she's likes, and mm-hmm. just a lot of the high school drama things that you think the end of the world are happening when you're in high school. It's just still yeah. funny. It still applies. Again, it might be a little different because of the times, but in general, you could relate in some way to those characters.
Yeah. Yeah.
So next up after that was Bill Murray and Stripes.
Yeah.
And this one, obviously. Oh.
I love it. As soon as you put it up, right?
This one cracks me up. It has so many good lines in it, so many good premises in it.
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about the premise of it alone. This, you know, you see Bill Murray.
Yeah.
So you don't think of him in military movies.
No.
Which is how it goes when he goes, let's sign up for the military. That's
He's a cab driver, right? Just a friggin' bum that sleeps all day, gets up, watches, you know, drives his cab, comes home, watches movies till dawn, and then crawls
into bed. He's like a man child.
Yeah. And then, him and his buddy are sitting there and they see the commercial for, the U.S. Army. He's like, this doesn't look bad. You know, and he's just like, what? You're not the Army type. Like, and the best is when he bets him, you know, he said, I bet you $3 you can't do 5 push-ups. And he can barely do 5
push-ups. Yep. And that was with Harold Ramis, you know, the great Harold Ramis, the late great Harold Ramis.
Sure.
So he was, that was a 81, I believe, if I remember
correctly.
So it was right at the beginning of the decade. But good stuff, a little raunchy humor.
Oh,
Good stuff. Really good stuff. Speaking of raunchy humor, next one on the list is another 80s movie that is in everybody's list, and that's Caddyshack.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a guy alive that doesn't know at least one quote from Caddyshack. It's just, and especially if you ever golf, if you went golfing once in your whole life, you're going to quote Caddyshack on the course at least once.
Yeah.
Complete slapstick, raunchy humor.
Mm-hmm.
This was before PC was invented, so there's no political correctness in that film,
which
makes it even funnier. So
yeah, it was, It was a pretty damn good movie, I tell you that much.
No, I mean, you got Rodney Dangerfield, first of all, right there alone. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, there's no filter on that guy.
The first time I saw Caddyshack was actually on TV, so it was edited.
Really?
Right? Oh, and geez. I thought, and then when I saw it, somebody rented it, and we went to a friend's house, and I was like, oh my God. I had tears coming down my face because it was a completely different movie.
That was, I think, 80 or 81.
Yep.
One of the two. And so, I mean, I was young also when that came out. Yeah. I was old, obviously older than you, but
yeah,
I was like 15 when it came out. Mm-hmm. So probably should not have been watching it either, but
no, hey, I was like 10 when I saw it. So, so I think it came out, like you said, it came out in 81. I think we watched it about 84. I seen it maybe.
Yeah.
84. I was 10 years old.
And it's funny because some of the jokes you probably didn't even
get. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't get. I was laughing because everybody else was laughing. And then later on, I was thinking, no wonder I didn't get that joke. I was 10 years old.
Right. But, exactly.
You know what? I have Caddyshack on DVD and I'll still watch it. So it's a great
movie. I think it's in every film buff's collection of a certain age anyway. Mm-hmm. I think if you're late 30s to on, you have Caddyshack there, but that's an 80s classic, another 80s classic. I mean, all of these are 80s classics, so I can just keep saying that for every one of these films. But this one here is definitely up there, and that is Matthew Broderick and Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another, you think of the 80s, you think of the movie, the dress, of course, the clothing might be a little 80s with some of the terms, but everybody can relate to wanting to cut school one day and just
play a
baseball game and go do this.
He fakes sick, right? Yeah. And gets out of that. And then he calls his buddy who is sick. Who's like, can't get out of bed. And he keeps
He keeps
phoning him, right? On the answer machine.
He'll just keep calling.
And then he says, you don't get over here right now in 15 minutes. We're no longer friends. Remember? He's sitting in the car. He goes in the car, and you see him through the back window, and he's just
– he's so mad. It's such a great movie. It's so well written.
I love it.
And there's a ton of people in that movie.
Yeah.
A ton.
Yeah.
You got Matthew Broderick. You got Jennifer Grey is in it. She plays the sister.
Yep.
Charlie Sheen, who has a very small part in the police station. It's so funny. So definitely gotta watch that. If you guys have not seen that, I know a lot of the older generation has seen it already.
But you know what? I bet you a lot of people haven't seen it in a long time, right? So
yeah.
But it's just a fun movie. You get a rainy day, you're not feeling good, just throw on Ferris Bueller. You'll have a laugh.
It definitely holds up for the humor aspect.
Yeah.
Like I said, some of them I rewatched again, and I didn't find as funny as they did the first one. That one there killed me. Some of the stuff that did just cracks me
up. Even the principal, right? Even the principal when he's trying to – his whole day, his goal is to catch Ferris because he knows –
He goes in the house.
Yeah, he goes in their house. Jesus. Can you imagine that now? Like, he's just getting chased by the dog. And at the end, when he gets on the bus and he's beat, he's had the shit kicked out of him all day long, right? Missing his shoe. Dogs attacked him. Like, and he has to ride the school bus home with all the, great movie. And now we're into September here and, the vacations have ended. And if anybody's has smaller children or even teenagers or no kids, they've had a trip. They probably relate to the next one.
Oh yeah, the next one, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Yeah,
which spawned off a couple of sequels. European Vacation and Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation is a holiday classic that we'll talk about in December.
Oh, we'll get into that.
But this one here,
this kickstarted it all.
And this one in the '80s was one of Chevy Chase's heydays too. I mean, he had a ton of movies in the '80s that were funny, but that one there. Yeah, that's John Candy was in it. Beverly D'Angelo played his wife. He was just,
Anthony Michael Hall again, right? So
yeah, that's right.
You see a pattern developing with some of these movies right in the 80s and like it is now with some of the other movies, you'll see that's why we love these characters. That's why we love these movies is because they're in multiple movies or even more, right? So.
Very funny film. I mean, and a relatable film, like you said, if anybody has taken a family trip in a car.
Yeah, I don't know how many parents have, you know, I'm sure you've given that speech. I've given that speech. I heard it when I was a kid. I'll turn this car around. Don't make exactly. me turn around. Like we couldn't even get down the street one day, and the fight broke out in the backseat. So
it's so funny. Yeah. Next up is a little lesser known 80s comedy, but one of my favorites is Cannonball Run with a ton of movie stars.
You know,
Roger Moore, Sammy Davis Jr., Dean Martin, Farrah Fawcett, Dom DeLuise.
Yeah, Dom DeLuise, right?
It's a goofball movie. I know we kind of talked about it briefly on the Burt Reynolds episode. Just a goofball movie, just having fun with it. But a lot of, you know, humor, no political correctness whatsoever. You'll definitely see some funny stuff there.
I don't know what one of the major, you know, I'm not sure. Is it I-95? What's the major highway in the States going south there?
Well, that's going north to south, but going across the country, it's either 10 or 40.
Okay. So we have a strip called the 401, which is one of the biggest major highways and definitely in Ontario, right? I'm telling you, I was on it last Saturday. I had to pick somebody up in the airport in Toronto, and it looked like Cannonball Run out there. there was some characters out there that were just.
It is based on a real race, and the real race does still happen.
Yeah. But not to the funniness of this one. So.
Oh, no, no. This thing's hysterical. So next up here, we got something that was before Eddie Murphy was mega Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. And this was 48 Hours with Nick Nolte.
Yeah.
And again, somebody that's ever seen this, you can never – he had some of the funniest lines in this movie where he became – you know, this is where he was grooming himself, I guess, to be that mega star because he just kind of took over the screen. He took over the humor of it, the way he was with his impersonations or his, you know, his ad-libbing. Everybody remembers the beginning when he's singing Roxanne by the Police in the jail cell. Funny film, really funny film. And it started the buddy cop films too, I think, where it was action and comedy. This one was more comedy than action. Mm-hmm. And then you had like the Lethal Weapons, which was more action than comedy.
Yeah.
But still a funny film in its own right.
Yeah. Even the sequel, Another 48 Hours, was great.
Yeah.
Right? So
it had some funny stuff in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of these had sequels. Like we said, Cannonball Run had two. Vacation had three of them. Caddyshack had a sequel. It was horrible.
Yeah.
But it did have a sequel. But yeah, funny stuff. The other one, which really epitomizes the 80s, like the beginning of the 80s, because this was 1980, was Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah.
And it's where we're introduced to Sean Penn's.
Oh, my God.
Spicoli was the surfer dude.
Spicoli, eh?
He did not care about class or.
No. Mr. Han, hey, asking him, so, you know, he waits and class starts and he's knocking on the door.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I can hear your voice.
Then he orders the pizza, right? Because I love it that he's just asking him, like, you know, how come you couldn't get here in time? I don't know. You know, I don't know. He writes it on the board, eh?
And it has everything you could picture for high school.
Yeah.
Film. It has the jock, it's the stoner, the surfer, the girl cheerleader. Mm-hmm. It's just a fun, silly movie that epitomizes that time of in your life.
Yeah.
After that, another John Candy film, like we said in the beginning, with Stripes, but it's Uncle Buck.
Oh my goodness, hey,
Uncle Buck! And this, another John Hughes film too. Macaulay Culkin and John Candy, man, he could have read the phone book and made me laugh. I mean, he's hysterical. Yeah.
Nothing like calling on a family member, the absolute last resort to bail you out of a situation when you know that you don't want them in there in your house.
Yeah. I think everybody has that family member that they don't want around their kids.
No, and the stuff that he comes up with, right? Like when she phones and checks on him. And he's talking to her, you know, it's after what the first couple of days. And the line that sticks out is, you know, he says to her, how many times do you feed a dog like that? And she says, how many times do you feed him? 4 or 5. No, that's once a day. I should have told you that. So, you know, he has no idea of what's going on. Right.
Yeah. Everybody has
telling her he's been leaving the toilet seats up for him for the dog to drink and. Figure out there's a discoloration of on your yard now. Man. So
he's definitely, like I said, definitely one of the family members that everybody has that you don't want over your house messing around with your kids.
Yeah, or your house. Not only that, right?
Exactly. After Uncle Buck, we have a romance comedy, Moonstruck, with Cher and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, great movie.
I'll be honest with you, I only saw this once.
Yeah?
I only saw it one time. It was enjoyable. I liked it.
Yeah.
But I only saw it one time. So it was
right.
It wasn't one that I watched continuously over and over. But that's put Cher on the map, too. She got me an award for that movie. Nicolas Cage was young back then, but still did a good part, good role. Had some funny stuff, some romance in it. It was a little good overall film.
Yep.
Next up, we have the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. And this one here, you got Steve Martin, Michael Caine.
Yeah.
Steve Martin, I love Steve Martin. He's another one. He could do a handful of films and still make me laugh. And they could be, you don't even care what's going on in the movie, but his improvisation of it or his lines or the way he delivers it, he's hysterical. He cracks me up.
Oh yeah. And the things they come up with, right? Once they start working together, not only when they start working together because they're con artists in this movie, but then when they're fighting over the woman at the end, the things that they do again, when Steve Martin's in the wheelchair and he's pretending that his legs don't work and he's a veteran from the war and Michael Caine, Michael Caine hits him on the legs and he says anything. He goes, he hits him again. And you know that he's just wanting to cry, right?
He's in so much pain.
Because he's faking it. And he says, how about now? And he just, you can see, almost see the tears coming down his face. And he goes, he's crying.
It's like the old, it's like the old, you know, Marx Brothers slapstick comedy. It still makes you laugh.
Yeah.
But,
now the next
good
one.
Film.
The next one is my favorite.
Yeah, it is another 80s film that is on 99% of people's list. Yeah. And that's The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. I love
John Hughes. Definitely had the Brat Pack going here with everybody in there. I mean, it represents the geek, the jock, the tough guy,
the basket case,
pretty popular girl. It's just, they're all in detention in one day. So it's,
I don't know if that's a thing in the States. Is that a thing where they would do it on Saturdays? I mean, we had detention, but you had to stay. I think it was either during lunch hour in high school. I don't remember being any detention after school.
You know, they did have detention on Saturdays occasionally when I went to school anyway. I don't remember it being detention was mostly an after school thing. So when school was over after seventh period, you had to go to detention if you got it. But it was on Saturday a couple times. I don't remember why. I was a good boy, so I don't remember all that.
Oh, yeah. Good shoes, Tony, right?
But they did have it, yeah. But, I mean, it wasn't common. Anyway, up in the area where I grew up.
You never wrote lines in school, Tony? You never had to do the lines, eh?
Ever what?
You never wrote lines on the chalkboard?
No lines.
No, you never
had to write. I never did. They used to make you clap out the erasers.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that film there – 80s classic. Definitely an 80s
great,
classic.
Great movie. Great, some great lines in that movie too, right? So I think of the scene where they remove him from the room, put him in like a storage room and he crawls through the ceiling.
Yeah.
And he falls through the ceiling, right? And makes this big awful noise and the teacher comes back in and he goes, "What was that ruckus? What ruckus? I heard a ruckus." So like, you know, you're spending all day in the library, right? Sure as shit that if my friends and I were there, we wouldn't be writing that essay. We would have got into probably more trouble.
I know, really.
Spending 8 hours, but now another great movie.
So next up, we got another Chevy Chase film, Spies Like Us with Mr. Dan Aykroyd.
Another great movie with these two, right? So.
They could you know, do anything and make you laugh.
Two guys that get caught cheating on an exam for the U.S. government, right? So they find that these guys are working well together, and they use them as decoys for actual spies. But they figure these guys are expendable, and we'll just send these off and treat them like they're spies the antics they get into, right? So I think the scene in this one is Chevy Chase and the where they're pretending to be doctors in Afghanistan. Yeah. And he says he wants him to do the appendix surgery, and he puts the knife up here in the chest, and the guy says, "Doctor, isn't that a bit high for an appendix? Because you want to do the operation? You want to do it?" Oh, I love it. I love it, right?
So funny.
Great movie.
Next up was towards the middle of the decade, but still the one that really shot Eddie Murphy to stardom was Beverly Hills Cop.
Oh, yeah. Talk about monster hit.
Right? He shot like a rocket. I mean, this was this was Tom Cruise in Top Gun. This was Harrison Ford in Raiders of the Lost Ark. This was the movie that made him Eddie Murphy.
Yep.
And again, he ad-libbed a lot of it. He had a ton of lines that he just threw in there and made you laugh about.
Yeah.
So he's hysterical. I mean, if you go back and watch some of his stand-up concerts from the 80s, I don't even know if they would be, a lot of people would have a problem with them today. But deal with it, people. Watch it and don't be so thin-skinned. It's funny.
The 80s. Right.
I don't care what it is. Just laugh. It's funny. It's words.
No, a great movie. So Judge Reinhold in this one again, too. So, like I said, a couple of these movies on the list, you're going to see repeat actors, right? Just and actresses.
Yeah, they were Judge Reinhold was in Fast Times, remember?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and then after that, we have, again, in the beginning of the episode, we talked about that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Yeah.
That would be Crocodile Dundee, and which also had a sequel, Back to Beverly Hills Cop, that had three sequels. But yeah, Crocodile Dundee had a sequel, Paul Hogan in there. That was huge. That was big when that came out.
Oh, that was a huge movie. Not only was it huge, it boosted tourism in Australia like by 70%, I think it said.
Isn't that crazy?
Because they figured everybody wanted to go to the outback, and I imagine that when people got out there, they were thinking, "The hell did I just sign up for?"
Right? This isn't like the movie.
No, Foster's Beer, remember, it got a huge push for it because of the movie. And of course,
any movie that comes out and has certain appeal to it, you know, people run out to buy products or shoes or go visit somewhere because of it. I mean,
it's just a great movie though. When he lands in New York, right? And he shows up on day one, they get to a stoplight and he introduces himself to someone standing there and he's Mick Dundee. In town for a couple of days, probably see you around. And the guy's like looking at him like, you know, millions of people. And this guy's shaking my hand. So
8 million people in New York City. You're not going to see this guy again.
it's pretty funny movie. And, that was a good one.
Speaking of New York, the next two are placed in New York, but the first one is another Eddie Murphy movie and it's Harlem Nights.
Oh.
This one with the late, great Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor.
Red Fox was in this. So good, right? This
movie. I used to listen to Richard Pryor's albums long before I was allowed to hear those types of things. And he was one funny guy. And Eddie Murphy idolized him. So great film. Yeah.
Arsenio Hall in this movie too, right?
So, yep. Arsenio Hall's in there. So funny. That's such a funny movie.
Yeah, that's another one that maybe people haven't seen in a while and they should really check it out because it's pretty damn funny.
And next up, like I said, takes place in New York City as well. Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy. I think Eddie Murphy might have a post on this list. I mean,
people are going to start thinking we're doing an Eddie Murphy list here.
He's got four of them on here, I think, right? But this video, I'm sure most of you have seen it already. Dan Aykroyd's the rich guy. Eddie Murphy's the poor guy. They trade places and it's hysterical.
Eddie Murphy at the first of this movie, pretending he's a veteran with no legs on the little cart, right? And the cops stop him because he's been harassing people in the park and they take his sunglasses off. He pretends he's blind. He pretends he has no legs, right? And they said, "You were in the war?" "Yeah, Vietnam." He said, "I haven't seen anything since I stepped on that landmine," right? So then they pick him up and his legs are there and you can see. And
he's holding him up.
Yeah, he's holding them up behind him with a blanket, right? So just a great movie. Like I said, just thinking about these movies, I start laughing, right? So,
Well, last on the list is another Richard Pryor film, Brewster's Millions. And this is a funny movie. John Candy again. Also, sorry, forgot about that. This is a fun movie. Premise is cool. You know, you have $30 million to spend in 30 days And if you do, you get, I forget what it was. I think it was $100 million or whatever. If you spend the third, but you couldn't have any assets, remember?
Yeah.
You can't have anything to show for it.
Could you imagine going around now? And I mean, it would be the money would be different, right?
Sure. But I mean, 30
not
million.
Not telling anybody and just blowing it.
Yeah. Like, you weren't allowed to tell anybody. So everybody thinks he's crazy, what he's doing. Mm-hmm. You weren't allowed to have any assets. You weren't allowed to profit from the 30 million. And of course, Richard Pryor and John Candy. Mm-hmm. How could you not laugh with those two?
But I tell you what would be accurate about this. You would have quite the following. If people found out you were buying, flipping the tab on every bill, every dinner, every bar, bars and limos and hotel rooms, your Instagram account would be blowing up. I tell you that much.
Yeah, they should remake it for today's generation. It'd be funny.
It would be funny. No, that'd be good.
Maybe make, I don't know, Kevin Hart, the Richard Pryor, character. But yeah, that's the list we came up with. And we know that there is there were so many movies that we kept saying, we're like, we can't make this list too big. We can't just keep going with it.
No.
Like 30, I said, 40, 50 movies.
We had a couple movies on there and they were starting to creep into the 90s and then it just kept going. Our conversation back and forth, the text messages. And
what about this movie? There were some of them that you didn't realize was a 90s.
No, that's it, right? Yeah.
So and 1990, then, you're thinking it's an 80s movie, but it came out in 90. But yeah, we'll touch base on those 90 movies.
Yeah,
we'll
for sure.
A whole episode of that one. But that was fun.
Yeah.
That was fun. You want to do, trivia? You want to do movie quotes? What do you want to do?
Well, let me see here. I thought we had a stab at it last week. We'll try that again with our movie quotes.
And, yeah, the movie quotes, you know, it's just like the trivia, guys. We're probably really bad at it, so just have fun.
But, hey, it's just have fun. And, you know, if you're screaming at your TV at us,
if you drop it in the comments. Going, Tony, how do you not know that? Yeah, it's
– right.
I'll blame it on my age, okay?
Yeah. I
don't know.
Well, I'm going to start now since I got I got my notes here on my
chicken scratches. Make me nervous when you start.
All right, so I'm going to start with the movie Vacation. All right.
Okay.
So this is towards the end of the movie.
Okay.
John Candy plays Lasky, bumbling security guard at Wally World. Right when they find out that Wally World's closed, and he puts the big hand up. Sorry, folks.
That's supposed to give me all this backstory. That's giving me a lot of information.
Well, I know, but it's
just read the line.
This is the first one. So I'm trying to be nice to you. Okay, ready?
Go ahead.
That's not a real gun.
Yes, it is. No, that's not what he says.
Well, it's you're close. He does say yes, it is, but there's more to the line.
Right, and then he says yes, it is. Yeah, that's and then John Candy's character goes no.
Clark, no, but he says Clark has more to the line. You're missing the line.
Oh, okay, see, I don't know the other line.
So I'll give you his.
Because I know that he goes, yeah, that could take an eye out.
Yeah, he says that. Clark says, "Are you kidding me? This is a Magnum PI." That's why I put that in there because you.
That's right,
a big Magnum PI.
I forgot he said that.
Lasky says, "That's a BB gun," and then he says, "Clark says, don't tempt me. I could put an eye out with this thing.
I could put an eye out with this."
Yeah,
I remember that part.
Lasky says, "That thing wouldn't even break skin. Yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Yes, it would." And then he shot him. Remember, he shot him in the butt.
Yeah, he shot him in the butt. But that's I put the Magnum PI in there just for you, and you blew it, kid. You blew it.
Good. Okay, so my first one is from Breakfast Club.
Okay. Oh, okay. I love it.
And I'll tell you who says it, but that's it.
Okay.
Giving you a whole setup there.
All right. I gave you a whole setup.
I know. Well, you know what's so funny is I thought you were going to do the beginning where we first saw the John Candy character.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like, sorry, folks, park's closed.
I gave you that one. So, and then wah, wah. So,
exactly.
Anyways,
we're
going to have to get that sound effect there for when we screw it up because you'll probably hear this a lot.
When it happens. That, I'll find that.
Yeah.
I'll go Amazon will have it.
Okay.
Okay, so this one here, Bender is speaking.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So you're going to give me
I'm going to give you half of what they say, and you got to finish what they're saying.
All right. This will be good. Okay,
this is all just Bender.
Yeah.
I see me and I don't like
what I see.
Mm-hmm. I really don't.
I really don't.
Yeah.
That's the line? That's the line
That's
that is?
Line. That's the line. Okay. See, I only saw Breakfast a couple times.
Oh yeah. I thought you might give me something like,
Oh, I have two others from Breakfast Club, so.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll try that.
But all I did was one quote from one person.
Oh, okay. All right. We didn't do a back and forth. Okay. All right. I see me and I don't like what I see. All right.
Yeah. I really don't. That's what he says.
Yeah. All right. I got one from Coming to America. Okay. Ooh, so okay. We'll do a little back and forth here. I like the back and forth. It's fun. So I said,
Coming to America. That could have been.
I'm going to be Eddie Murphy. All right. So good morning, Mr. McDowell.
Good morning.
I was wondering if you caught the professional football game on television last night where the Giants of New York played the Packers of Green Bay and they kicked an oblong pigskin shape through a big H. It was the most ribbing victory.
What am I supposed to say? You did the whole line.
No, what's the next line? That's your cue. What's Mr. McDowell's line? It's a classic line. I say it to people all the time at work. What's his line?
Say it to people all the time at work.
Yeah. So I just gave you the speech.
Yeah. I remember the scene. I could see him. He's holding the
mom.
Yeah. I don't remember what McDowell says to him though.
He says, son, you want to keep working here. Stay off the drugs.
Yeah, I have the drugs. That's right.
That's twice I've set you up for a home run.
You did. You lopped it in. I'm swinging for the fences and missing.
You know what? I'm sorry to anybody else out there, but you must be a Mets fan. You really let me down, kid. You really let me down.
All right. So another Breakfast Club one. Okay.
Yeah.
This one is Vernon.
Okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember Vernon's character?
Yep.
Okay, he says, don't mess with the bull. And the rest of that line is?
Don't mess with the bull. You get the horns.
You get the horns. Remember he's all serious about it? Don't mess with the bull.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
You'll get the horn. Horns. Yeah.
See, that was a good one. See, that was an easy one for you.
Yeah, that was a good one. Okay. Well, that's all the quotes I have. So you have one more?
I actually have three more quotes for you.
Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah, I got five quotes today.
Really? Okay, I got more trivia than I got quotes, so I'll let you do another quote.
Okay, so this one's from Uncle Buck.
Or I guess I'll do a quote, yeah. Okay.
Okay. He says, take this quarter, go downtown.
Mm-hmm. And have a rat gnaw that thing off your face.
How insane is that?
I love when he sits down prior to that, though. Eh? He goes, good morning, I'm Uncle Rusty's wart. I'm Buck Melanoma. Rusty's uncle. Remember, he can't keep his eyes off her wart. So,
The other one was from Uncle Buck too. He says, you know, Art Linkletter was right.
Art Linkletter was right. Oh, geez. That one I may have trouble with.
Kids
ask too many questions.
No, he says, you know, Art Linkletter was right. Kids say the goddamnedest things.
Oh, kids say the goddamnedest thing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, good movie though. Good movie. Yeah.
That's all the quotes I have. That's it. I have five trivia.
Five trivia. All right. Well, let me see here. Let's get you lacing up your roller skates and I tell you what, we gotta film this one time. I think we gotta change our video to actual roller skating, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. All right, see that? Boogie bear.
All right, what do you got?
We're ready for trivia. You want to start trivia or should I start?
No, I'll start. Okay, so you answered my one question when we're talking about, I had a true or false question about Moonstruck, but you answered it. Cher did win an Academy Award, best actress. So I probably should have asked you again because maybe by then you might have forgotten, but
I might have seen. Anyways, you never know.
Anyways, how about Vacation? We'll do a Vacation movie.
Okay.
What type of car does Clark Griswold bring home?
The family roadster.
The family
Truckster?
There you go. There you go. The family truckster.
Yeah, like, the family truckster. It's all green with wood panels on it.
Remember the next one they ordered, and then he wants to get his car back, and he looks over, and it's a friggin' pancake. So, yeah, the family truckster.
Family truckster.
I'd say truckster, roadster. It was a shit show.
I have three from Uncle Buck and two from Breakfast Club.
Okay.
All right. So Uncle Buck, multiple choice.
Sure.
What city did the movie take place in?
Chicago.
Chicago or Boston? You already
Chicago.
Got
Chicago. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot. See, no. I didn't even listen to the question. I was so excited because I knew the answer. So
that's the way I would have been. I know I'm going to get this one right. Yeah.
Yeah. Slam dunk. So, okay. Caddyshack.
Okay.
Caddyshack. So Ty Webb, is in the locker room and, the judge asked him, he says, so if you don't keep score, how do you measure other golfers? How do you measure up to other golfers? Is it by wealth, by height, by IQ, by good looks?
He says by height.
By height, right? He did by height and he walks away and they just look at him, eh? Cause he just doesn't care. He's out there to have,
oh, that movie play golf has got, and, so there's so much.
Yeah.
So much in that movie.
Right.
Okay. Right, so, Uncle Buck movie.
Yep.
What does Buck call his car?
Okay.
Is it monster?
Yeah.
Animal? Or beast?
I believe it's beast.
That is correct. It's beast.
Yeah. Because I was thinking monster doesn't sound right. And so, yeah. But, beast. There you go. Hey, not bad. Not bad. Okay. All right. So this is kind of a fun one. Coming to America. All right. Right. So we all remember the barbershop scene. And they're going back and forth about the boxer and, they get into the Joe DeLuis discussion.
Yep.
And
he kicked Joe Louis's ass.
Yeah. He whipped Joe Louis's ass. He did whip Joe Louis's ass. So Clarence gets all wound up about it and he says, Frank Sinatra sit in this chair and Frank Sinatra sat in that chair. And I said, Frank, how old was Joe Louis when he fought Rocky Marciano? What was the age that Clarence said that Frank Sinatra said
he said that, he was like 86
that or Joe Louis was.
Didn't he say he was 86 or something like that or something old?
He says, Frank says Joe Louis 137 years old when they fought. 137 years old. And then the one guy says to him, you ain't never met no Frank Sinatra. And
that scene one of the funniest movies.
And a side note to that, Frank Sinatra was not ever in Mighty Tea Shop. So he made up the story that Frank Sinatra was in the shop. He made 137 years old when they fought. So
that scene is a stuff. As you all know, Eddie Murphy played
multiple characters.
Characters in that film.
So did Arsenio Hall, right? I think Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall played five characters each in that movie. So
I mean, the movie's just remember when Eddie the prince first walks into the barbershop.
Yeah.
Hey, Kunta.
Kunta Kente. And then he's got the little rat tail that he's been growing since birthday.
He's got the thing. He's got a haircut.
And he says, what, he goes, what are you doing there? He goes, my natural hair. He goes, that's all just herbs. And right. So he cuts it off and he says, that'd be $8. Now here, I got another quick question for you. So when they walk in, you mentioned that. And, they're talking about that scene. Who's the, I'm going to say relatively young, unknown actor that's getting his hair cut?
It's Cuba Gooding Jr.
There you go. Look at that. Bonus questions for the Stallion tonight, eh? You're redeeming yourself.
I am.
You're bouncing back.
Say, showing you how poor I am at movie quotes.
Yeah.
All right. So I got another one from you for Breakfast Club. I got two for Breakfast Club.
Okay. Why is Bender in detention?
I'll give you multiple choice if you wish.
Okay. Yeah.
He was caught smoking. Mm-hmm. He cut class or he pulled a fire alarm.
Oh, yeah. He pulled the fire alarm for sure.
That's right.
Because he gets called out on it. He says, you think you're funny? pulling the fire alarm. Yeah, that's real funny, isn't it? So he gave him. Now, is that your last Breakfast Club question?
You know, I have one, but I'm not sure if I even want to use it because it's it's a quote that I was going to have you guess who said it.
Yeah, okay.
But who says this line? When you grow up, your heart dies.
When you grow up, your heart dies. When you grow up, your heart dies. I can see my friends yelling at me right now. I think that's, it's not Ally Sheedy, but the Basket Case.
Yeah, no, it's, Allison.
Allison with an A. Sheedy. Right. Yeah, I love that because when they first all come in and he's yelling at them, right? Because Bender's giving him a hard time, right? Remember, he's like, Rich, will milk be made available? And he's just, you know, going on. And then when he gives him the line about, does Barry Manilow know you raid his wardrobe?
You raid his wardrobe.
And he just says, I'll give you the answer to that question, Mr. Bender, next Saturday. You know, he's already in detention. So and then Allison's sitting at the back and he's like, hey, wake her up. What is this? This is not rest home. Like he's like the teachers were just different back then, right? The students were different back then and the school was different back then, but I'm telling you, good times.
But that's all I got for trivia though. So it was, we did 50-50 there. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think, we're both equally bad and we're both equally good, but I tell you what we are.
Okay.
We're in agreement that was one hell of a list tonight. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I could go back and pick any one movie off those lists. And I hope anybody watching that hasn't seen any of these movies, or they haven't seen them in a while would agree.
Right.
You know what? This is all about having fun. And that was a fun list.
Yeah. Like we said, we'll do some 90s lists. We'll do some 70s, some 2000s, 2010s.
Yeah.
We'll start getting into some other things as well, but we hope you enjoyed it.
How are you for horror? How are you for horror movies?
Yeah, we got October all lined up. Remember I sent that to you. We're all ready to go in October. There's four Wednesdays and they're all before Halloween.
I'm going to tell you,
we have some big stuff coming for October.
Yeah, there's a couple movies I know we're going to talk about. One I saw and we'll get into this next month. We started watching when I was 10 years old and we're all, like I said, back. I grew up on Wolf Island. I grew up and, you know, it was an event on a Friday night with movies and we were all gathered around. We watched a movie and then the second movie come on and my friend's mom, we'll get into it next month, but she stopped the movie and said, I don't think Timmy should watch this.
That's enough of that.
I'm going to tell you some of these movies, I still have, it still bugs me. I like the thrillers and some of them are a little too real. So
we have a good October lineup. So we'll be promoting that soon. It's almost the end of September. So
All right. Well, go back on YouTube and catch some of our earlier episodes. Of course, we're on the Last of the Action Heroes podcast network.
Mm-hmm.
On audio, you can find us on different platforms.
Yeah, we have a bunch of different platforms out there. So check us out. And follow us if you don't already.
Yeah.
Good episode, man. This was good.
Great episode. Always a good time, Stallion. Always good time.
I appreciate it, man. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good one.
See you down the road, guys.